Just going to bear with me for a few minutes this evening. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, if you just give me a few minutes, and I'll be through. I just want to leave a few thoughts, and then we'll close the meeting. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and reading from verse 10. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word. You know, there are many things in life that seem important in terms of getting them sorted out. But the most important thing in life that you and I have to sort out is the issue of our eternal destiny. The issue of our sin. This week we've been reminded that the specter of death and decay reaches to the very greatest and the lowest of society. We've been reminded even in the royal family that no matter who you are, what you are, that the dangers of life can strike you at any time. Life on earth is finite. The graveyard and Larn testify of that. But life is not just finite, it's fragile. You can be 90, 100 years of age and leave this world like our queen and her husband. Or you can just be in your early 30s and 40s and be struck down with a disease and taken out of this world just as quickly. So the most important issue for you and I to settle tonight is the matter of our souls. I was talking to a man in Inver just a few days ago. I knocked his door and he came out and I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Are you going to heaven? And he said this to me, he said, that's my church over there. And he pointed to the church. And he says, I go to that church faithfully all my life. And he says, I believe that that will bring me to heaven. And I said, sir, can I ask you, are you saved? Because Jesus said this, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he said to me, no, I'm not saved. And I said, well, how can you get to heaven if you're not saved? He says, well, I believe what I believe. So he replied, don't want to talk about it anymore. Isn't it a tragedy to live your whole life believing in something to bring you to heaven only to discover it brings you to hell? What a tragedy. What a foolish thing to do. And the Lord Jesus tells us a story here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, of two men to illustrate this truth. Two men who were contemporaries. Two men who went to the same place to pray. But two men with two different attitudes. And because they had two different attitudes towards God, one went to heaven and the other went to hell. And the surprising thing in this story is that the one who went to hell thought he deserved to go to heaven.
And he thought that he was going to heaven. And if you were to take a poll of the people in Jerusalem, the vast majority would have thought that this man that Jesus said is going to hell was going to heaven. And the man that Jesus said was going to heaven, the vast majority of people in Jerusalem that day thought he was going to hell. So you and I need to look at these two men this evening just for a few minutes. And see, which one are you in the story? And the first one we're told is a man called the Pharisee. There were about 2,000 to 3,000 Pharisees in the nation of Israel. And they were famous for their religious observance. They never failed to be in the temple to pray. They never failed to let everybody know how religious they were. And here we're told in this passage that the Pharisee stood, and the idea in the Greek is that he stood up in the most prominent place to pray. He wanted everybody to see him. When he prayed, he thanked God for himself. And he said this, he says, God, I thank thee. Oh, he was so polite. Because he's a very religious man. No doubt he was well dressed. No doubt everybody who was watching were saying, what a holy man this is. What a spiritual person this is. He began to pray and he says, Lord, God, I just want to thank you how great I am. And how wonderful I am. And how religious I am. And he even looked over and he saw this publican, the other man. Publicans were tax collectors. And he said to God, he says, God, I thank you I'm not like this other man. He's not religious like me. He's not someone that people respect like me. When he finished his prayer, he thought that he was guaranteed a place in heaven. He thought he was going first class. But he was wrong. Because you see, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't even matter what I think about whether you're going to heaven or not. It only matters what God thinks. And he has the casting vote. He has the only vote. But then there was another man in the story. And this man, he had a very different opinion of himself from the Pharisee. He was a tax collector. And the tax collectors were Jews who worked for the Roman authorities. At this point in history, the Roman Empire had stretched all the way into the Middle East. And in order to collect the revenue of the empire, the Roman authorities would hire Jews to collect tax revenue from other Jews. And they had a deal with them like this, and here was the deal. They gave them a fixed amount that they had to bring in, maybe say £10,000 for their town or their village or their city. And they were permitted to go and raise that £10,000 by taxing their fellow Jews. But if they took more than the £10,000, they were permitted to keep for themselves. Now you can imagine what the other Jews thought of such people. Number one, they thought of them as traitors, working for the Roman authorities, the oppressors. Number two, they hated them because they were corrupt. They were like monsters, taking advantage of others. And said that if the tax collectors or the publicans came near the temple, the other Jews would shoo them away, keep away. We read in the story that this publican came close to the temple, but not as close as the Pharisee. And when the publican got near the temple, he was so ashamed of his sin that the Bible says he stood afar off. He wouldn't even look up to pray. And it says he began to smite upon his breast. That's a very Jewish way of expressing your anguish, a deep sense of sorrow and grief. And as he smote upon his breast, he said these words, and they're just a few words in our English translation. And here's what he said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, God, you're full of mercy. And I'm a sinner. And I can't ask for justice because justice would require me to go to hell. Can't ask for justice. Can't ask for fairness because if God, you're fair to me, you'd put me in hell for my sin. I deserve to go. But he says to God this. He says, God, I'm pleading because I know something about you. You're a merciful God. Full of mercy is what that word means. And he says, God, show mercy to me, a sinner. 7 words in our English translation. Some called it a holy telegram. Boom. What happened? Here's what happened. Verse 14. And with this we close. Jesus gives us the verdict. He says, I tell you, this man, the one who prayed the prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. In fact, in the original language, it's the definite article. It really should be translated this way to give it the full sense of the meaning. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He didn't look around and look at other people. This man just came and he says, I need to be personally forgiven of my sins. I need to get born again. Jesus says, listen, the most beautiful words of this man. He said, this man went down to his house. He left the temple that day. And here's the word, justified. It's an old word, an old theological word that just means this. God looked upon him now just as if he had never sinned. Forgiven. Washed away. All his sin, all his failures in the past of all the years he had been the tax collector and all the things he had done and said over those years. Forgiven. In a moment of time. And you know, I don't know everyone here tonight. I don't know your background. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your story. Because everyone in life has a story. But I do know this. That when we come to divide the world up, there's only 2 categories of people in this world. It's not Catholic, Protestant. It's not rich, poor. It's not educated or uneducated. Young or old, there's only 2 categories that God divides the world by. And here's the 2 categories. Saved and lost. That's it. Heaven or hell. With Christ or without Christ. That's it. This publican left the temple that day saved. Justified. Why? Because he was a good person? No. Because he came to a good God and confessed that he was a sinner. Confessed that he needed to be saved. Confessed that he needed a Savior to atone for his sins, cover his sins. And Jesus says, because he had the right attitude to his sin and to his Savior, he left the temple that day just as if he'd never sinned ever again, never before. Here's the good news. You may have come here tonight on your way to hell. You may have come here tonight lost. You may have come here tonight with the burden and guilt of your past on your conscience and on your heart. And the wonderful news is this, You can leave here tonight born again. You can leave here tonight with not just some of your sins forgiven, but on the authority of this book, you can leave here tonight with all your sins washed away. How can that happen? You have to do what this publican did. You have to come, the ABC of the gospel. You have to come and accept that you're a sinner, just like the tax collector or the publican. You have to admit that you cannot take away your own sin by your own efforts. You have to leave all your religion behind, all your attempts to be just behind, to impress God behind. You have to come to Jesus Christ and confess your sins to Him. And here's the wonderful news. You can be forgiven immediately. You can be forgiven permanently. And you can be forgiven eternally in a moment of time. Why don't you come? It's the most important decision you'll ever make. It's the most important issue you'll ever settle. Because if you leave here without Jesus Christ, you're lost. I was up in Craigie Hill on Wednesday. And I met a man who was a Protestant, called himself a Protestant. Met another man who was a Catholic. They asked both of them the same question. I said, "Are you saved?" And they both said to me separately, "No, not saved." I said, "How are you going to heaven? How can you go to heaven?" And the first one, the Protestant, he said to me, "Well," he says, "I go to church." Go to church. I said, "Sir, you're lost." I asked the Catholic man, "What are you doing to get to heaven?" He says, "Well, I've been baptized. When I was a child, the priest put some water on my head." So here's the question, which one will go into heaven? Neither of them. Because you don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by what Jesus Christ has done. By coming like this publican and confessing your sins and saying to Jesus Christ, "I need to be born again. I need to have my sins washed away." Why don't you come? You know, this world is about to end. You just have to look around. Even non-Christians can see this world in an absolute mess. Nothing works. You noticed? The roads don't work. The hospitals don't work. The schools don't work. The airports are falling apart. Nothing works in this world, and no one wants to work. And this world is coming to an end, the Bible says. And we're no longer in the last days, we're in the last hours of this planet. Jesus is coming soon. And you need to be ready. And I need to be ready to meet Him. One last question. Here it is. If you die tonight, where will you be? Answer that question. Don't answer it too quickly. I didn't say, where do you hope to be? Oh, everybody in Lorne wants to go to heaven. I've never met anybody on the door say, "I'd like to go to hell." Everybody wants to go to heaven. I didn't ask that question. I just asked you the question. If you die tonight, you will be where? And if it's not, if you're not sure that it's heaven, you're lost. You're lost. Don't leave here tonight without settling the matter of salvation. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that we have heard Your voice tonight through the testimony, through the music, through the songs that we have been singing. Most of all, we have heard God's voice through the preaching of the Word of God. Time is running out for us all. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. The Bible says it is time to seek the Lord. Lord, we pray that each one here would leave here with our hearts changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're troubled about your soul, you say, I'd like to become a Christian, I'd like to settle this matter, then you just pray from your heart. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and wash away your sins and make you a new person. And he will. He says this, him who cometh unto me, I'll nowise cast him out. If you'd like to talk to me after the service, I'll be most happy, or any of the others. But don't leave here tonight without settling the most important issue, the issue of your eternal soul.